All right, we're going to wrap up our series today on By Faith. Been looking at this for several weeks now, and something the Lord laid on my heart, just the idea of what it means to follow God, and it's a long haul. It's not a short trip, is it? You know, a lot of people kind of sometimes think it's a short trip, and but it is, it's a marathon. And staying faithful to God is something that we need to stir our hearts to want to do. And to do that, I think sometimes we need other people who are maybe a little farther along than we are in the faith to be able to help us in our walk with God and how important that is. And I think sometimes, you know, we look to other people for inspiration. And that's good. And Hebrews 11 is a place, you know, that you and I can go to if we're looking in the Bible to find inspiration for our faith. It's talking about several different people through there that have lived the life, have went through battles, and have remained faithful, and then were tested and overcome that test. And that's something we can do. And it's just filled with a lot of testimonies of people, you know, maybe just like you and I, that sometimes live one day at a time. And sometimes you just got to play what's, you know, dealt and coming our way, and we just have to be able to deal with it. And so what I see from that, I looked at if they can do it, I can do it, right? If they can do it, we can do it. And we need to see that it's possible, because the Bible says that God is not a respecter of persons, but he's a respecter of faith. And faith is something that you and I can each tap into to be able to walk a little deeper with God. We're just going to look at two little scriptures today, and we're not totally little, but in Hebrews 12, verse 1, and then we're going to look at verse 2 in a moment. But Hebrews 12, 1, in the Amplified, it says, "Therefore then, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses who have borne testimony to the truth, let us strip off and throw aside every encumbrance that is unnecessary weight, and that sin which is so readily, deftly, and cleverly clings to and entangles us. And let us run with patient endurance and steady and active persistence the appointed course of the race that is set before us." Amen? That's a mouthful. Well, let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the unction of the Holy Spirit just to be here today, Lord. We thank you for a special stirring. Lord, help us to be able to walk in your ways, and Lord, to be able to receive everything that you have for us. Lord, we open ourselves up to you right now. We just lay aside everything, every distraction, everything that's holding us back, Lord. We just get rid of that. And Lord, we want to grab a hold of the things that you have for us. You know, faith overcomes the world. And Lord, I yield to the gift you give me. I use it for your glory, and I use it for your, that Lord, words of faith and power will come forth today. And I thank you just for the witness of the Holy Spirit to be here and stir up the gifts, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so the great cloud of witnesses, what it's talking about, it's alluding to the people in Hebrews 11. If you've never read that chapter, I encourage you to do so. Like I said, it talks about several people who have went through stuff, and God challenged them to grab a hold of him and just hang on. Have you ever felt like you just need to hang on? You know, sometimes, you know, you think, I can't do nothing else. All I can do is hang on. And sometimes that's what we have to do in life, because we don't all the time understand everything that's going on. And especially where some of these attacks come from. Well, we know they come from the devil. I do know that. But sometimes we do stupid stuff, like I always say. Sometimes we self-inflict our pain. But primarily what we have to see is that other people also have experienced what you and I go through. So don't think that we maybe, we just have these special problems. You know what I'm saying? Special problems that hold us back or try to get us to believe why I can't, because faith can overcome the world. And we need to see that we can be a part of that and grab a hold of that. So as we see these witnesses, see, the word witness, what it's talking about is one who has information or knowledge of something, and hence one who can give information, bring to light, or to confirm something. Technically, you and I are supposed to be witnesses of the faith, witnesses of the testimony of Jesus Christ. Things that you and I experience in life, you know, we can use that in our testimony as a witness to the world around us. So as we go through this life, what I try to encourage, just pay attention. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's part of the battle, isn't it? Just pay attention and learn as we go. And as we learn, I found out in my life some of the things that I've went through, that God will bring somebody across my path that is maybe going through what I have already went through, and God can use me to speak words to them to help them through that situation. I remember when I first got saved, only been saved about a year or so, and you know, we was with a group of friends and different things, and anyway, people would just come to me and they would start telling me their story. I don't know why, but you know, they said, "You must be a pastor." I says, no, that's not what I want to be. You know, I don't want to be that. You know, and they said, "Oh, you're just so easy to talk to." And most people I scare, you know, now. But, you know, I mean, that's just the way it is sometimes. But, you know, they would come up and, you know, and stuff I've went through. I was not born in church, people. I was not raised around Christianity for the most part. I mean, we weren't heathens. That's not what I'm saying. But I mean, I have been into the world. And with that, I tried to accumulate information. How many know as you go through life, you've learned a few things that you don't want to do again? Amen? I think I have. I know I have. I know Jeff and Pam just told me they love to go to Hawaii, but they said they don't want to go back. They learned that they don't want to go back there, you know? And so that's okay. That's okay. And, you know, we learn these things and see we can use that. We can be one of these clouds of witnesses to be able to share with somebody else to help them. And you're going to find out that when we share our faith with other people, our faith grows. I mean, it's weird because a lot of times you'd think that when we give something away, we lose it. But when it comes to faith, it's not like that. When we share our faith, it makes our faith stronger. It makes us so that we can be a stronger witness to the world around us. And that's what God's looking for. So don't sell yourself short. We all have experiences in life that God has brought us through that He can use, and He's used for His glory. Amen? And so what I know in my life when I first started out, you know, in this Christianity, is that when I'd read about people in the Bible, I just thought, wow, man, you know, they must be something special. You know, because I'm not special. But see, that was a mistake. They weren't any more special than anybody else. They just took God at His word. That's all it is. Faith is just taking God at His word. And anybody can do it. Anybody. Doesn't matter where you come from. Doesn't matter where you've done. If you can just believe, all things are possible. Amen? Amen. That's just what's exciting about me. See, to me, Christians are just everyday, ordinary people who face everyday problems and choose to believe in an extraordinary God. Our God is bigger than any situation that we can come up against. No matter what the enemy throws our way, our God is bigger. And if we can hold on to that concept and make it through, you know, we will overcome these things. So for us to be a witness, we have to bear testimony to the truth. we need to share our faith, whatever that means. Does that mean you stand on the street and scream at people and tell them about Jesus? Well, you can. But in your everyday life, going through work and going to do different things with different people, there's always opportunities to bear witness of the truth of what God is doing in your life. And I encourage you to look for those opportunities. You know, one thing you can do is pray for divine appointments. God, here I am, use me. Open a door that I may share the truth and the love with somebody else around me. And God will take you up on those prayers. But some things that we need to do, the writer of Hebrews told us that there's some practical things that you and I do. We just don't live, you know, in this make-believe fantasy Christian world, right? You know what I'm saying? One of the goals I had when I got saved is to make the fantasy of church a reality in the world. Because in here, everybody's, you know, for the most part, we're smiling. We're saying, I'm blessed. You know, praise God. Praise, yeah, we're just singing and, you know, clapping our hands and doing all these things, and it's all good. And it's not like that out there. Sometimes it can be really hard. So we can try to transcend and to be able to bring some of that out there. But to do that, there's some practical things that you and I need to do. And I'm not much of a runner. Like I always said, when I started jiggling, I stopped jogging. You know what I'm saying? Because it was just too much for me. I mean, all that shaking going on, you know, I just couldn't handle it. But here the writer tells us, he says, let us strip off and throw aside every encumbrance, unnecessary weight, and that sin which so readily is my translation, but this Amplified said, so readily, which means deftly and cleverly, clings to us and entangles us. Okay, so what I found out through life is that we need to shed a few pounds so we can run better. I ran back in the day when I weighed 150 pounds. And I've ran what I weigh now. It was easier back then. A lot easier. Because that extra weight puts a lot of stress on your body. Well, the same analogy is talking about what sin does in our life. Now, I'm talking about being perfect here. But I think we all can probably acknowledge the fact that there's probably some things in our life that we could get rid of. How many know it's springtime out? Today it don't feel like it totally, but what's one thing that you do in the spring? Spring cleaning, right? You get rid of the stuff that you don't need, the stuff that's kind of a pain. Like I said, if we all just would ever move from house to house, every 3 or 4 years you move, you wouldn't accumulate all this stuff. We know if you buy it, you got to move it. You know, then we wouldn't buy it anymore. So, like I said, running's hard enough, but if you're overweight, so here it says to strip off. That word strip off is talking about the idea of the throw aside every encumbrance. So, you know, what is holding us back in life? If you could, sometimes you go to the doctor to get a checkup, or sometimes, and you ask him, you know, he starts asking you questions and some things that may be going on in your life, and we get an assessment of our health. Well, I think it's good to get an assessment of our spiritual health. And I think you and I are all smart enough that we could probably look in the mirror and do an assessment, the mirror of our life, and find some things that are holding us back from getting closer to God. Right? I know some things in my life. I know that I could be a little closer to God if I would stop this. Have I done it? Not yet. But I do know there has some other things in my life I knew that was very, and the things I'm talking about aren't sin. They're just waste of time things. And wasting time kind of is a sin. It's not a bad sin, but it's a sin, ain't it? if you're wasting time doing things. There's some things I know I waste time doing that really aren't really helping me. And so the word encumbrance here, when it says to lay aside these encumbrances, that word encumbrance in the Greek is kind of talking about a tumor or a mass, a weight, a burden, or impediment. Now, if you look at it like that, it kind of changes, you know, our perspective, that we kind of see the damage that some of these little things in our life can do to hold us back. I mean, nobody in their right mind would probably, you know, want cancer in their life, right? If you could, you'd want to get rid of it because you know that it's not good for you and things can happen. And just like that, so if we look at it from that perspective, you know, and we want to be like one of those clouds of witnesses, we want to be able to testify and to be able to share something. And so there's some things that maybe we can, if we look at it that way, so we can maybe want to get rid of them. So sin in our life is like cancer. We may not see it, but we can witness the effects it has on our walk with God. What's some practical sins that you and I sometimes deal with? Like I said, time wasting. I know what that does in my life. What's some Christian sins that we can do? Oh, maybe gossiping. It seems harmless in some ways. Depends how malicious it is. But if it grieves the Holy Spirit, well, then that's going to hold us back. I don't know about you, but I'm in the position in my life where I need more of the Holy Spirit, not less. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I'm not the smartest kid in the class, but I do know that. I need more of the Holy Spirit working in my life. So I know that I can let go of some of those things. And because we're running this race, and, you know, if the more weight you carry, the slower you have to go, and it just makes it that much harder. So we want to deal with those things, that unnecessary weight in our life, because Jesus came to set us free. And it's no condemnation. I'm not condemning anything here. I'm just talking about, hey, I want to be the best version of me that I can. You know, it may not show up, but I want to be the best husband for my wife. I mean, sometimes I show up good, but sometimes I don't. But I would like to be the best version of that myself. I like to be the best version of a father to my children. Sometimes I get it right. There's been times I messed up. But I did make them all sign an NDA or whatever that is. They can't use that against me. But, you know, all these things. I want to be the best version of a pastor I can be. You know, and all these things. You know, we just want to, you know, get better. Get better at everything that we can do. Because what happens is, you know, that unnecessary weight that we carry around is just like, you know, to me, it's like cutting junk food out of your diet. Now, I don't want to pick on food again here, but, you know, our body is a machine, isn't it? And what you, just like a car, what kind of gas you put in your car kind of tells just kind of what results you're going to get with your engine. Well, our spiritual engine is the same way. It's kind of what we put in there. And just like cutting junk food out of our diet will cause us to lose pounds, to me, repenting and walking away from sin will cause us to walk in a deeper level of faith and experience breakthrough. There's a key word, breakthrough. It's kind of like, to me, breakthrough is like a new day dawning. Boom. We was out Wednesday night, took the kids outside just for a minute, let them try to burn off some energy. It didn't really work. But anyway, it's one of those days where it was the clouds were kind of low, but there were some holes in the clouds, and the rays of the sun was just coming down, and it just looked like glory. And the kids even noticed it. I mean, they were just in awe, and they said, that makes me think about God. you know, when you see that. And, you know, and to me, that's what breakthrough is in our life, when all of a sudden the sun breaks through and we start to experience that freedom. Amen. Freedom. Because the Bible says, he who the Son has set free is free indeed. And, you know, we walk around in a war zone down here sometimes, and we're so bound up. We have so much pressure from time to time. You know, work pressure, financial pressure, relationship pressure, all these different things. And it just little by little just keeps putting weight. But then breakthrough comes, and the load has been lifted, and the glory of God comes into our life. Amen. You know, and that's what we're looking for. And that happens, you know, by faith, because we know that God is able, because we know so much that sin is very sneaky. And I look at it like sin is a barrier that holds us back. You know, that's what, like a fence. You know, sometimes we feel kind of hemmed in. And I know when I first started out in my journey of faith that I had not let go of some things that was entangling me. You know, I was still allowing those things to come into my life, and they were holding me back. And what happened, this is how it worked with me. You may be different, but, you know, those things that were holding me back, it was like I was in a cage a little bit, or like a fence, and I couldn't get beyond that fence. That fence was keeping me from a closer place with God. And that fence was put there by me. I put the fence there. It was my fence. And God had surrounded me with some great believers, much like many of the believers in this room today. But yet, I didn't let them get real close, because I had this fence. And I didn't think I could go on the other side of that fence, even though I knew the grass was greener. This is one time in life that the grass was greener on the other side. But I could not get there because of that fence. That fence I wouldn't deal with. Well, finally, there come a day I got me a pair of wire cutters. Amen? Snip, snip, snip. The fence went down. And I went into the new area, new territory, new breakthrough in my life. And I was able to experience God in a deeper way. And believe me, if I can do it, you can do it. Don't let little sins that are silly be the barrier that's holding you back. What I've found is sometimes we can do all the right things, but if we fail to stop doing the wrong things, we'll never get to where we need to be. You know, there's people, you know, when you come to Christ, we don't have to quit anything. Don't get me, I'm not wanting to hem that in here and make us feel like it's works righteousness. And you don't have to quit anything to come to Christ. You just come to Jesus first and let him help you deal with that stuff. But I have learned also is the fact that as my journey and my progress of walking with Christ, that there's things that I thought that were so important to me, I found out they're not important anymore. Because Jesus is more important than that. Because when I first started out, these things that I thought were important were more important than Jesus. Because I'm not going to, you know, I'll never quit this. This is what I like. This is me. But then I found out that through Jesus and through a process of putting the word in, amen, just keep putting the word in. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of Christ. Keep putting the word in, keep putting the word in. And before you know it, it pushes all the bad out. And so those decisions that I made later were easy. But you can't make those as a baby Christian sometimes. Now, I did know as a baby Christian, there is some things that I did walk away from. I do know them were no-nos. You know, even though I was not raised in a church, I did have a little bit of education about the things of God. I picked up a few things. But primarily, it's a growth process. We grow closer to God. We're not, we're technically, legally, we're as close as we can need to be, by being born again because of the blood of Jesus, but temporally, with the walk and the things we have going in our life, we just have to deal with stuff as we go and just keep dealing with stuff. I mean, most of you have probably found out, either through marriage or some sort of relationship, that everybody has issues. Right? We all got issues. You know, when I got married, I thought I was the perfect husband. Because I was a spiritual man. So I thought. I thought I was real spiritual till I got married. I found out then, man, I was not as spiritual as I thought. Can I sit here an amen over here? Amen? Then, just after I started getting my marriage kind of on track, then I thought I was spiritual again. Then we had kids. And I found out how selfish I was. Anybody ever play possum laying in bed and let your wife, men? You know what I'm saying? Hear the baby crying? You just kind of, why don't you go get that kid? Hindsight, that was selfish. You know, but now the kids are old enough, I don't have to do that. Amen? Or oh my. Anyway, so, yeah, so there's things. So the key sometimes is we have to overcome that ideology that we say the right things but do the wrong things. So our walk needs to line up with what we do. Now, I found this, you know, you can never out-exercise a bad diet, you know, right? That's an old saying. I mean, that's not new revelation to anybody here, is it? Maybe it is. I don't know. I mean, you can go lift all the weights you want, but you keep eating, you know, heavy carbs if you're getting older especially. It's tough. But you can never out-exercise a bad diet, and we can never out-faith bad choices. So we got to make some good choices because we're all in this race, and we're running this race, and we need to be able to run in a way, you know, that we want to win. And that's what Paul says in Corinthians. Now, a little bit more about this. Then it says, and let us run with patient endurance and steady and active persistence the appointed course of the race that is set before us. Wow. That's what that word in the Greek means when you put it together. In our language, it means patient endurance. Think about that for a minute. Do you like that word? I don't know. Patient endurance. I mean, endurance in a race, to me, I'm thinking marathon. Yes, I mean, we're not talking running to the refrigerator back here, people. We're talking going for a ways. So we need to have that endurance. And what that word patient endurance is talking about is the capacity to bear up under difficult circumstances. Okay, there we go. Difficult things in life that we have to deal with as we go through these things. And so how our faith grows is to operate in patient endurance, meaning hold on to the promises of God no matter what the difficult circumstance is, no matter how bad we're feeling, no matter what's going on. We hold on to that, and then we're going to be better on the other side. To me, patience endurance is a superpower that you and I need in our life. We need to have that as a superpower to be overcome because, as I found out, excuse me, let me have a little water here. Things usually never go as fast as we want. We sometimes get frustrated in our circumstances. We get angry. Why is this happening? You know, I do this and I do that. Why is this happening? Now, what I found out in my life is to operate in a level, which kind of brings a little balance here, is to have what I call divine dissatisfaction. It's okay if you're not satisfied with where your life is right now. But in doing that, we need to practice contentment while we're still persevering for more. Amen? Don't settle. That's not contentment. That's settling. There's a difference. You know, we just went through a study on this a little bit, talking about how the Apostle Paul could practice contentment no matter what circumstances he was in, whether he had a lot or had a little. And see, if we can operate in that, but we still need to be pursuing. We still need to be pressing on. Don't settle. What the biggest grief I have sometimes is when Christians who are mature in the Lord, that means they've been around a while. They know, and you know, it's not by age totally either. It's just by they've been around in the things of God and have grown. And then they pull back. They feel they've gotten as far as they want to go. And in doing so, they even stop maybe helping young Christians. You know, here God's invested all this time, and then we quit. You know, we can't do that. We need to keep in the race. We need to stay, you know, in the race. We may not do everything that we used to be doing, but I do feel that we can do some things to keep kicking the ball down the road. It says to practice steady and active persistence. You know, we need to be vigilant in our faith journey. You know, to me, it's a steady growth versus a faith spurt. You know, some people do faith spurts. They get all fired up for a minute. Boom. I'm excited about God. Praise God. Yeah, God's doing this. God's doing that. Then 2 weeks from then, nothing. Not even hanging tough. You know what I'm saying? They're done. It's over. Throw in the towel. I give up. See, it's this steady endurance. I know I'm not the shiniest person in the world, but I do know I'm persistent, which is annoying sometimes, I know. But it's persistence. Just keep at it. You know, you don't have to sprint and be out there and all that in front of the whole crowd. Man, just finish your race. Just stay in the race. I still remember a seasoned minister, and he was highly renowned. I mean, if I mentioned his name, everybody should know him. He's been gone for several years now. And some young guy asked him, they was interviewing him, and say, "Brother, what was your secret to success in ministry?" And this guy was waiting for some big, profound answer. And all he said was, "I didn't quit." Then he named several other ministers who had quit. He said, "They quit. But see, I didn't quit. And now I'm here today." Sometimes it takes 50 years to be an overnight success. You know what I'm saying? 50 years of persistence, of just keep on. And all of a sudden, you've arrived. See, God wants us to hang in there and to keep doing it. So, and do that, you know, we don't need those, we need that steady growth. You know, and we need to run our race. You know, run our race and not somebody else's. Don't compare yourself to other people. They have their job to do and you have your job to do. In doing that, you stay in your lane, which is our appointed course. I mean, I was out of my lane the other day. Brian texted me and said he had that health thing. And so he asked if I could pick the songs for today. I don't like doing that. That was stressing. I'd rather write 10 sermons in a week than have to do that. For some reason, I just don't enjoy doing it. It's just not my gifting. You know, and I picked a few of the songs today. Then I had my wife help me. Mine were the good ones. You know what I'm saying? No, but you know, but I know that's not my lane. That's not what I do. I mean, that's not saying God couldn't give me the grace, but for the most part, you know, I choose just to stay I know what I can do. And so when we get off track is when we get in trouble. Now, most of the shortcuts I've taken in life usually put me in the ditch. And I've been in a few ditches in my day, back in the old days. But every time I try to take a shortcut in life, it usually is not a shortcut. So be patient, operate in endurance, and be able to walk the walk that God's called us to do. I'm going to go ahead and finish this a little bit. I'm at another spot here, but we're going to do just a little bit more. Now, the key to this is Hebrews 12:2, and I'm reading from New American this time. It says, "Fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand throne of God." So that's a key to our principle in our faith walk, is to be able to fix our eyes, and it means to look intently at a distant object. Now, as you know, when you drive, and you're driving down the highway, and you tell this to new drivers, you don't tell them to look right over the front of the hood, do you? No, you tell them to kind of look at the horizon. Because if you get to looking down too much, you're going to miss a lot, and you're going to end up getting in an accident. So we need to look at the horizon, because that's what we need to do. So as we look at the horizon, so we can focus on the big picture instead of getting distracted by unnecessary details. And it's those unnecessary details in life that's going to trip us up and make us stumble. And so you and I need to learn how to deal with distractions. See, if we don't deal with distractions, they will turn into disturbances. That's what I tell the kids in class. You know, it's bad enough if you're a distraction tonight, but don't be a disturbance. So try to keep it reined in. So we see from this little passage here that Jesus is both the author and the perfecter of our faith. So to me, I see that faith was God's idea. And so God, it says in the Bible, has given us each a measure of faith, and it's up to us to find out what to do with it. Three little things. Number one, faith needs to be developed. It means it needs to grow. Our faith needs to grow. It needs to expound. We need to understand the basic concepts of Christianity, what God says about different topics. It's going to take a little time. You won't get there overnight. But if you hang around, you pay attention, like I said, write a few things down, glory to God, you know, so you can look at them later or go back and listen to the message again sometimes. You'll get those things, and then it's going to help you. Also, as well as faith needs to develop, faith needs to be challenged. We don't like challenges, but faith, when we're challenged, it's perfected or tested. We go through that testing process, and it makes us stronger. And thirdly, faith needs to be released. And this is something we need to understand. Unreleased faith will never change the world. We need to speak out our faith. We need to pray our prayers in faith. We need to release them. When God, you know, created the heavens and earth, you know, God said, "Let there be light." The Bible says he didn't think it, although he did think it before he said it, probably. But he spoke it. Words of faith are words of power. They can change circumstances. They can change situations. And they can change us. Because faith changes things. First, like I said, it changes us. Faith changed me. Then faith can change those around us. When we share the faith, it changes the people that we share the faith with. Lastly, faith will change a lost and dying world. The impact that you and I can make on this planet. Each generation needs to reach itself. We're the generation that can reach our generation and make an influence on the future generation. then it's up to them. The past generation is too late. It's only what we can do today. So to me, Bible faith overcomes the world. And it says the perfecter as well as author. You know, God's a perfecter of our faith. Perfecter means the one who reaches the goal. Philippians 1:6 says, "For I'm confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus." We're not in this alone. God said he's going to work in us. So don't think you have to do all this yourself. We work with God and we flow with him, and then God works out these details. See, God is always working our life based on our best interests. He's not against us. God's not going to make you do something bad in your life. God wants you to grow. And so, to me, the walk of faith is a lifelong endeavor. It's something that you and I do, but it's something we have to be, I guess, diligent at. We need to be ready to continually to walk in it and desire to grow. Because people, faith can move mountains. And I do believe we all have a mountain we got to get rid of. Amen? Let's pray.